Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Well, you know it's Halloween next week.
Yes.
Well, I'm not even wearing a Halloween mask today, and I've just caught myself in the reflection of the mirror, and I look like something that's been dragged through the hedge backwards because I am so tired.
Oh, so I know. Oh, you've been going through it, haven't you, with the sleep?
What the hell is going on? Like, it feels like I'm back in the newborn stage again. I mean, we've always had an issue in the house with early rising from Luna. That's, I mean, we've basically been chatting about this for 5 years now. So I'm sorry for anyone that's like, she keeps banging on about it. But I kind of got my head around that. But Kit is now having a sleep regression and is waking up 3 or 4 times during the night and sort of crying out and moaning and, you know, whinging. And then he'll, you know, bless him, he's just come out of nappies. And obviously he's needing a wee twice during the night as well, just because I think even just the slightest kind of tinge or maybe feeling that he needs to go, he's like, "Mommy!" I feel like I've got a brand new baby.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely shattered. And then Luna is coming in. I'm not being funny, but just, she knows about the grow clock. She knows she has to wait for it. I'm not asking her to stay in her bedroom until 8 a.m. I'm asking her to stay in it until 20 past six. And she's there every single morning at 5:30, just poking me in the face. "Mummy, what time is it?" And it's making me feel so pissed off. I can't tell you, George.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Am I doing something?
No one wants to be woken up in the morning to someone poking their face. Like, let's face it, it'd be like the hottest guy in the world. And you'd be like, "Please just don't poke my face at 5:30 a.m. Are you joking?"
It's hard, isn't it? It's hard.
It is. It's so hard. Mm. And I think this is that whole thing, isn't it, around like when you're trying to set your boundaries, like your bedroom is almost like your haven. It's like your safe space, isn't it, as a parent, when, you know, when you have got past the newborn stage and maybe they're not sleeping in your room anymore. And so almost if that becomes your place to escape, when they start to intrude or like take over that time you actually get to yourself, even if you are sleeping, it can feel like a real invasion. Like, that's how I, like, it feels like an invasion of your space and your privacy.
I'm beginning to be a bit resentful. You're right, George. I'm really like sorry that I've been a bit snappy with them, but it's been really difficult to get my head around because the sleep deprivation is so savage at the moment, and then I'm trying to run the days. Anybody that's got kids that are up through the night will know how damaging that is for your sort of mental state during the days when you're trying to function at work or trying to train or trying to, you know, be somebody that's got patience, or just all, everything just goes out the window. But I think you're right with the boundaries. And I don't know if you ever sort of went through this with Gigi or maybe even with Axel, but Kit suddenly seems to be frightened at night. You know, there's a massive light underneath his bed because he's got one of those mid sleepers, and we keep that lamp on. He's also got his dinosaur light. So his room is he doesn't want to be in darkness. He wants to have it lit. But he's just aware, I think, a little bit more of his surroundings and that he's scared. He keeps saying to me, "I want to sleep with mummy. I want to sleep with mummy." He used to sleep in pitch black. And so it's definitely a phase. It's just very difficult. And also, I think with Luna, I feel like she is crawling inside me and taking every single piece of me again. And it's like whether that's to do with starting, you know, her new school. She's thriving at school, but when she gets with me, two super clingy kids. And they never used to be like that.
Yeah. No, do you know, I actually said to you when you phoned me, I can't remember what day it was, probably Tuesday, and you were saying to me, "Oh, they're just like waking up so early." And I think I should probably go back through our stories on Mummers, because when Axel started school, we had exactly the same thing. Because I think you build yourself up to them starting school, and so many people say to you, "Oh, they'll be sleeping into 8 o'clock. You'll be waking them up. You'll be dragging them out of bed, and you you think, oh my God, I just got to get them to school and that's what's going to happen. It's going to be so good. And actually for us, it was the complete opposite. I was sometimes opening my eyes at like 5:45 and Axel was fully dressed standing next to my bed.
Yeah.
Like, can I go to school now? And I'd be like, oh my God. What are you doing? But the thing is, it's such a huge adjustment. And like, even like you say, Kit, like coming out of nappies, starting preschool, you've moved house. There is a lot to take in.
Totally.
And like, as adults, we just get on with it because we understand all those things, don't we? We understand change and we understand the process that happens when things change, and we just sort of take it on and we don't think too much about it. But as children, they don't understand. Like, they don't understand.
No, they don't. And maybe we expect
and
too
schools
much.
And all that. They don't get it. They're just suddenly, I think I said before, like they're on a 6-week holiday or a 7-week holiday, and then all of a sudden they're in like a school 5 days a week, 9 till 3, and they're like, hang on a minute, when did this happen?
And the overtiredness, we always talk about this, but when your kids are overtired, they sleep less. Somebody, you know, we've obviously worked with a couple of sleep specialists over the years who've given us great advice on it, but like a run of 6 p.m. bedtimes is what's needed.
Yes.
And we're kind of trying to go through that. Like last night was 6:15 and actually Luna slept today until 5 to 6, which was really good for her.
Yeah.
And then actually Kit again 6:15. So it was, well, I mean, he woke 3 times in the night, but like it was better. It was a better night. And I think I'm just going to keep doing that. They seem absolutely shattered. But I don't know about you. I'm really tired, obviously, and I'm coping with all of that. And then I pick them up from school and I'm trying to be really like fun mum. Because Dawson's not around, he's taken on a new job and I'm having to do all of it actually at the moment. And it's exhausting. And then it gets to the end of the day, I'm trying to do bath time. I'm mucking around with them. I ask them to get out of the bath. They don't listen to me. I ask them again. And on the 10th time, I just shout because I'm like, get out of the bath. Yeah. And then Luna bursts into tears. And then she does this whole emotional thing where she's like, I've been so bad. You don't love me. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I just asked you to get out of the bath. I didn't mention love. And then I don't know, even just little things like, please put your pajamas on. Please put your pajamas on. Put your pajamas on. Is anyone else going through this?
No.
It's just, they don't listen.
I've had exactly the same. And so I actually flipped it on its head because I'm in the same boat. Like James isn't around anywhere near as much as he used to be around. And I realized how much better behaved they are when he's there, right?
Right.
And, like, right? God. and so the other day, I was exactly the same. Just put your pajamas on. And now I'm literally like, if you don't listen to me on the second time, if you don't listen to me, I won't listen to you. I won't listen to you anymore either. And then you can see how it feels. And Axel's suddenly like, what? And I'm like, well, when you ask me for a drink, I'll just blank you. Because that's what you're doing to me. That's exactly what you're doing to me. And he's like, oh right, okay. Or I'll say, okay, well, if you don't listen to me, and because I've asked you 10 times to get out of the bath, there is no story tonight because we don't have time because you've dragged it out so long that there is no time now. Whereas if you just like listen to me the first time round, it'll be great. And I mean, it works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work. But it is literally
threatening them is good.
Getting to that place where you're like, if you don't understand, like, listen, like you have to listen to somebody because how do you feel when you're not listened to?
Like, it's so rude.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
So rude. And I just wonder if anybody, like, obviously it happens once in a blue moon where you have that idyllic bedtime where they're like little angels and their hair's all perfect and they smell delicious and they've got their pajamas on themselves. They want a cuddle and there's no tears. Most of the bedtimes are me going, get into bed. I've had enough because they just will not stop. It's just and I think maybe it's just a phase, or maybe I need to be harder earlier, and so that they know that when mummy says it's time to get out the bath, it is time to get out of the bath. There's no mucking around. And this is why today's podcast is so timely, because I think both of us, and from what we're hearing on Mummers, lots of you are feeling the same way about setting boundaries at home, setting boundaries with your friends, setting boundaries with your partner. Like, it's quite, it get, we I think typically as women, I know we have lots of men that listen to the podcast as well, we will get to a point where we are basically on the verge of a breakdown before we say, enough!
Yeah, and we put up those walls and we're like, no more.
Exactly. So I think let's get through the questions because we've had loads of them today. George, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so this is from Katie. My 18-month-old now cries when leaving his grandma, not me. I'm heartbroken, but now I have to work for sanity.
Oh, Katie, Yeah, I've been through that.
Yeah.
I've been through that with our nanny Lucy, yeah, who's just part of the family. And it is really hard when the kids go, I don't want a mummy day, I want a Lucy day. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, I've put Kit to bed, or Kit's woken in the night before. This was probably a year back, and I've gone to him and he's gone, don't want you, mummy, where's Lucy? And I'm like, oh my God, my child doesn't want me in the night. They want, you know, it is the worst feeling in the entire world, but this ebbs and flows. This is in and out. This is, you know, they're very good at putting the emotional stuff back onto you. They know how to make you feel bad. And I don't mean that as in they're calculated or manipulative, because they're absolutely not. But they also know who's been around them at that. You know, if granny put them to bed or granny was with them during that day and then you appear, of course they're going to do that. And they also know you're not, you know, you're off working. They don't understand why. They just know that you're not with them. And then it's like, well, if you're not going to be with me, I'm going to say I want granny.
Yeah.
Like I do. That happens at quite a young age.
But also on the positive side of that, I always try and think, how lovely is it that you have, you know, this is it daughter? No, we don't know, boy or girl, 18 months old. Your 18 month old feels comfortable enough with somebody else because you've allowed them to be like that. You know, we can't be with our kids all the time. And ultimately what we're doing as parents is raising independent individuals. So for your little one to actually feel comfortable enough in somebody else, like with somebody else, is actually like such a pattern, like such a good thing for you.
Pat on the back for you.
Yeah, pat on the back for you, because they're feeling independent, you know, they're independent from you, which is amazing. And they feel comfortable enough and they have trust in somebody else, which is great. It might feel horrible at the time, but actually, you're saying you have to go to work. So there we go. That's you setting your boundary. I know it's going to be, you know, it's difficult when they're crying because they want to stay with their grandma, but you've set the boundary that you need to go to work for your sanity. And I think you just need to kind of remind yourself of that. And also, like Zoe says, it's all a phase, so in probably a few weeks time it will come back around again.
Exactly. And they won't want to be with granny.
Exactly. But yeah, well done you for raising a little independent one.
Exactly. I think that one from Natalie is quite interesting, because I'm really going through that at the moment. How to fit in anything other than childcare and work when you're so exhausted. Oh my God. This is me, Natalie. You and me are the same. And George, we're all the same. We are exactly the same. Do you know what? Dozer went out last night and he went out with his best mate after work, and he went out and had a lovely dinner with him, and they were sitting having drinks. And this isn't me digging him out, because I love the fact that he's gone out and done it, and he now finds the time and makes the time and does all that. I don't do that. I said the other day in an argument, I was like, where are my friends? Like, I don't see anybody. I don't schedule in dinners. I don't go and meet like, all I do is work and childcare. And sometimes I feel like my head is going to explode because I miss my friends. I miss socializing. I've got a DJ gig tonight, and Doz was like, oh, you're going to be in London? I was like, yeah, I'm DJing for 2 hours, and then I'm getting a car back here straight away. Like, I'm not, you know, part of me thinks I should schedule in a dinner afterwards to actually message some of my mates and be like, but I'm so exhausted and I know I'll be exhausted that I just want to come home. Like, it's really, really, really difficult. But I think sometimes you've got to push through the tiredness and you've got to set the boundary and say, I will not be just somebody who works and looks after the kids. I will also, you know, be a friend and be a lover and, you know, experience things in life again and go to nice restaurants or, you know, pop to McDonald's drive-through, whatever it is, and just live outside of that. Otherwise, it's just this treadmill constantly. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, no, do you know what? I totally get that. We've actually had a few weeks of quite a lot of social plans. And I said to James, I was like, I'm looking forward to a weekend without plans. And how awful is that? Like, so I've broken through and I've decided, right, I need to start seeing my friends again, I need to like start going out again. But then on the flip side, you feel so exhausted from it, like literally so exhausted that now this weekend, if anyone asks me to do something, I'll just say no, because it's almost like a protection, like I'm trying to protect myself from feeling wiped out. And it is, I think it's just the hardest thing is finding the balance, and I think it's whatever's right for you. Personally, I don't think I could go out once a week anymore. Even once a week, I'm like, no, that's too much. I might make one arrangement during the day in the week, and then that's it. And then, or maybe one every other weekend, like in the evening. But it's really difficult, because you want to feel fresh, don't you? You don't want to feel permanently exhausted, but you also want to have fun. Difficult.
Yeah, and fun, you know, everyone wants to have fun, but it's almost just the interaction. Like, I feel lonely.
Yeah.
I'm really lonely. Mm. I really do feel it at the minute. And I think maybe it's because Dil's got this job and he's out of the house now at 7:30. You know, there's just like nobody. And yeah. Like, I probably need to have a little think about it. I'm not going to get emotional. I feel like I'm going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I've got you. I saw you this week, which was
together,
a treat.
Can't we?
Yeah.
Zoe needs a friend. We'll be right back after this short break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
This is from Kelly. Work 3 days a week, but still have so many messages on the other two. How to set boundaries.
Ooh, you be good at this one, George.
Yeah, I was going to say. So I think 3 days is a difficult kind of thing to, I guess, a difficult work pattern. Because I think when you work 4 days, essentially what you're doing is fitting in a full-time job in 4 days, and you like cram it all in, and it's, you know, everyone just thinks you're going to get the whole job done in those 4 days, and it's brutal. When you work 3 days, that's a part-time role, and so on the other 2 days there should be somebody else that is, yes, picking up the work. Like, it shouldn't just be a full-time job in 3 days, because that's impossible, right? And so I would just be very clear, like, I only work 3 days. On the other 2 days, I'm happy to pick anything up that's completely urgent, but, you know, maybe sort of work out what is urgent. But other than that, I'm doing another job on those days. I'm being a friend, I'm being a mum, I'm doing whatever else I'm doing on those other 2 days. So I'm not contactable. I think, yes, the other thing you can do is turn off So I've got like work group WhatsApps, like for my freelance stuff. And I turn off the notifications on the day that I don't work. So maybe, you know, if I've got half an hour when Gigi's like watching TV or something, I might just have a quick look to put my mind at rest. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's like set it up, turning your emails off so you don't get like any notifications like past a certain time, or just no notifications on the days that you're not working. And then if you feel like you need to check, it's up to you. It's not somebody else hounding you.
That leads on to Gillian's question, actually. Checking emails, etc., on non-working days when you have your kids, yes or no? George?
See, I sit on the fence here. I'd love to say no, don't. But then that causes me more stress because I wonder what's going on. So sometimes I think, not that, but you know, you don't want to come in on Tuesday. I don't want to come in on a Tuesday and realize that there was something I could have sorted out on the Friday that would have now save me like 4 hours. So I check occasionally, but maybe just once a day. Like I said, like if Gigi's sitting down watching TV for half an hour, and I'll think to myself, right, I've got half an hour, I'm just going to have a quick check. But that's up to you. Like, you shouldn't have to do that. But if it's going to make you feel better, then fine. But if it's just going to cause you more stress, then no.
Yeah, so I've been through this, actually, that for years I've been working 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, because I work the weekends. And I'd never said anything about it. And, you know, as the months were going on, it was like I was contactable 7 days a week, Monday to Sunday. And then it started all over again. And then I had a really productive conversation with my agent, the lovely Kathy, and just said to her, look, well, actually, she said to me, this is not sustainable. You're, you know, you, you're in a bit of a bad place at the minute and you need to have a rest like everybody else does. Mm. And so now, and it was the best boundary that I could have set, because I said, you know what, I actually can't do it anymore. I can't be contactable 7 days a week. I can't be answering emails on a Sunday. I can't be doing this one for Wednesday. And she will now speak to me on a Friday and say, which 2 days were you planning to have off next week? And I might say to her, look, we've got a really full on week. You know, I can only have a Wednesday afternoon, but on that Wednesday afternoon, she just blocks it out. So nobody contacts can get at me. You.
That's so
and it's
good.
The best thing that I did, because I'm in control of it. I've set the boundary. I've said what works for me. And actually, I deserve to have 2 days off a week like everybody else does.
I was going to say, 7 days a week is unrealistic. Like,
yeah,
so unrealistic.
I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the thing is as well, like we say, like, even if you're not working and you're looking after the kids, right? Even if you're not, you're still contactable. And that's sometimes half the problem, isn't it? It's like when you go on holiday, now we're so contactable. Like there's emails, everything's on our phones. So it's almost, I mean, do we have to go back to having two phones again? Like I used to have a BlackBerry for work, and then my phone is my phone, and actually that's quite nice because then you can just stick it in a drawer and not look at it anymore.
Do you remember BBM chats?
Oh, BBM, yeah. What's your BBM?
BBM chats. Love that. What's your BBM? I think this is just a statement from Nick. Toddler, full-time job, just started an MSc, trying to juggle friends. I'm totally overwhelmed. Help. Yes. Brilliant. It's a lot. Anna Mather, who we're actually going to have back on the podcast, would say that you're potentially heading towards burnout.
Yeah.
And actually, this is the stage to really start setting those boundaries, to like putting things in, you know, manageable boxes before it's too late, where it seems all too much, you know, and then you can't even get from A to B because your mind isn't able to process anything, which is where I was a couple of months ago. I was just like, I can't do anything. Everything's too overwhelming. I can't figure anything out. Yeah. And it's like, I just needed to do it in small, kind
manageable
of bite-sized
chunks. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, have a little listen to our podcast on burnout with her, because that was just really fantastic tips in there. And also we did an incredible one with Caroline Britton, who talks about kind of putting yourself in a bubble in the morning and just making sure that everybody can't pull you apart like an octopus.
Make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
This is from Raj. Starting a new job but want to try for a baby ASAP, is that cheeky? No, is the answer to that.
No, of course it's not cheeky.
It's not cheeky.
Definitely not.
In fact, we actually hired someone on Made by Mummies, our lovely assistant Katie, when she was 36 weeks pregnant, I want to say. And she had a couple of weeks with us, and she's on mat leave now because, like, what? That's fine. You know, that's what we do. Like, as women, we do have babies, and if we want to have jobs and babies and, you know, everything else, that comes, you know, part of it. So absolutely not. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about Katie yet, actually, but we did, because we were kind of waiting till she'd come back from mat leave before we sort of made the announcement and stuff. But we have had the lovely Katie Kirkpatrick working with us for a couple of weeks. And as George said, she was 36 weeks pregnant with her third when we took her on, but she's been absolutely fantastic so far. So yeah, we're excited for you guys to meet her as well.
Yeah.
But no, if you want to have a baby, it only makes you a better person and it makes you a better worker. So
exactly. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that. How do you work 8 hours a day with kiddies? Working nights to catch up from all the interruptions.
This is what I do.
Oh my god,
this
mental,
is what I do. And actually, I've got a friend who lived around the corner, and we both work 3 days a week freelance, and like technically 8 hours on each of those 3 days, but 8 hours is really difficult, like, to fit in. And we're always complaining about having to pick up work in the evening, but I guess it's difficult because 8 hours is a really long time, right, to be sat at a desk working. And so I do sometimes think, if you do have to stand up for half an hour and go out and do the school run or whatever, then you do come back refreshed. So you're almost going to make more of the hours that you are working if you're not sat there solidly. But this is this whole thing, isn't it, with like sort of flexible working, is that it allows you to work when you want to work. So sometimes that does mean that because you've had an hour out during the day to do something, you know, to pick kids up from school or make dinner or whatever it is, that there will be some work to pick up in the evening. And it is a challenge. And it might be that you need some extra support at home. Like, that's what I've been thinking about, like, you know, someone to get someone in to come and make dinner in the afternoons and sort of do some homework with the kids, so then I'm not spending every evening picking up emails.
That's good advice.
It's just the juggle, isn't it, really?
The ultimate never-ending juggle of life.
Exactly.
I like this one because this one is me, Beth. Self-employed. How do you know when to say no to work? There's just not enough hours in the day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This one takes a bit of time to figure it out, because as a self-employed person, Beth, you will be always or be used to saying yes to everything. It's very, very different when you work for somebody and you have the security of, you know, money coming in every single month. When you're freelance or you're self-employed, it's all about you and it falls on you. So you're constantly saying yes to everything because you're like, well, I don't know when my next piece of work is going to come in. And as a freelance presenter, I've spent the last nearly 20 years saying yes to virtually every single job because I just didn't know when I was going to be getting paid again or when the next bit of work was there. But I think actually for self-preservation and to set your own boundaries so that people know that you're not there as the doormat that will do everything, you need to be able to say, actually, either this is the same goes for how much you charge for things. And my friend came to me the other day and said, look, I'm still only charging X amount for my photographic work per month, per hour. But actually, I think I deserve this much now. And I said, well, then send an email to all of your clients and say, I'm not £30 an hour anymore. I'm 45 because that's what I did, you know, and it's amazing. And she was like, I actually haven't lost any work. Mm-hmm. I've actually probably got more work as a result of it. And it's the same for the work that you say yes to. It's very important. Think about the projects that you love. Think about the ones that you need to do. And then everything else, it's, I'm really sorry, but I can't take any more work on. And it's amazing. The same goes for like dating and relationships. The minute you say you're busy or you can't do something, they just come knocking.
I was going to say that because I'm only recently self-employed. And I completely understand that because it's a different frame of mind that you've got to have, and you've got to set your own boundaries and sort of your own limits. So
good luck with that.
Should we do one more?
Yeah.
How to achieve it? 11 p.m. just finished work. Teacher, no time to poo.
No time to poo. Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. How to achieve it? If we knew, we'd be Michelle Obama's.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it is boundaries, isn't it? It is literally setting boundaries. It's like not just doing what you can do. So you can't do you absolutely can't do everything. In fact, I was talking to this lady. There's a new coffee shop that's opened just down the road from me, and they've got a laundrette at the back.
Oh, lovely.
And I was just chatting to her. I'd gone for a run and I'd got completely soaking wet. So I went in there for a coffee and I was like, oh God, so what do you do here? And she said, well, you can just drop off your washing and we'll wash it, dry it, fold it up and return it to you in 48 hours. And I was like, oh gosh, that's so good. And she said, yeah, I worked out that I was spending 11 hours a week doing the laundry at home. And I was like, 11 hours a week? She said, yeah. And so then I just thought, like, there must be other people who are spending that much time. Yeah. So I think it is about, like, in order to achieve it all, it's about finding those things that are really taking you so long. So it could be like the washing, it could be the food shopping, it could be preparing dinners, it could be anything. And then finding what you can actually like not do. Because it's literally, I mean, £20, I think it is, to drop all your washing off, have it all dried, all folded and returned to you in return for like 11 hours a week back.
Oh my God. Please. I'm doing that.
Please. You know, when someone puts it to you like that, you're like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Why would you not do that? So I think it's finding those little things that, you know, those little sort of, I guess, bits of help that you can get if you can. So, yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible. I reckon I probably do about 20 hours of washing a week. The other day, my mum said to me, oh my gosh, she's over here from Kenya at the minute. She was like, the amount of clothes you've got in the laundry room. I was like, yeah, mum, three children, an outfit a day, seven outfits, 21 outfits a week. That's 80 outfits a month. I'm like, I was like, even just doing the maths on it was freaking me out. Basically, there's too much dirty washing in this house. I can't get on top of it. Someone send help. So before we say goodbye this week, George, we need to do products. Do you want to kick us off?
We do. Right. So I'm going to kick us off with a new sort of shampoo and conditioner that I've been using. So it's actually been created by Nikki Clark's wife. So when I heard that, I thought, right, I know this is going to be good. And it's been specifically designed for postpartum hair and hair loss. And so, my hair is still quite thick, but I definitely have noticed that the texture hasn't been so great. And also I've been noticing with some shampoos that that my hair, like if I tong it, the curls don't stay in as much.
Yeah.
But basically I've been using this and it's got no silicone in it, which is apparently if you want your curls to stay in, you should look for a shampoo without silicone in it. And right. I've been so impressed by it. The packaging's beautiful and it smells lovely, but ultimately it's the results that you want. And I've been blown away. I think it's really good. My hair feels stronger. Like I'm not having to wash my hair as much. Everything
that
I look for in a shampoo and conditioner, it's coming up trump. So We Too, the brand is called. They'll be on Instagram. So yeah, definitely have a look.
Love that. I am going to talk about something that was given to Luna by her godmum, Evie. Now, me and Evie know each other from Kenya. She's born and raised in Africa. And she has fostered a baby elephant that was orphaned for Luna. Her name is Tari. This is all through the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. This is such a beautiful, beautiful gift that you could give to your kids for their birthdays. And obviously it's doing such amazing things as well for like orphaned elephants. They have so many, so many in Kenya. So if you just go onto the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, you can foster an elephant. They send you a really beautiful like laminated certificate of Tari, and there's a photograph, and they keep you up to date with how she's doing. And then one day they'll release her back into the wild when she's, big enough and strong enough to do it again. So,
do you know
such
what?
Such a lovely thing to do.
That is such a lovely idea. And I've actually heard as well, you know, like if you have a big party, like if you have the whole class to your child's party, and they end up getting 30 presents, that is so much. I've actually heard about people doing like just a donation and just setting up like a, you know, like a link where someone can just go on and like donate to a certain charity. And I just think that's actually such a good idea. It's a better idea than just sort of ending up with 30 presents, which is way too much for any child.
Yeah, totally. And a complete, terrible
waste.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is actually inspired by Katie, our lovely assistant, who's just had a baby. Because we were talking to her about, you know, what do you actually want when you've just had a baby? Like, what would actually help a new mum? And she introduced us to a brand called By Ruby. Now, they're sort of similar to, like, the Cook Meals, and they're just, you know, like a lovely cottage pie you can just put in the oven. And you can have them delivered, or you can pick them up in, like, various farm shops across the UK. I think there's, like, stock it's in Devon, there's one near me in Essex, but they are such good quality. I've tried them myself, they're gorgeous. So yeah, definitely check them out whether you've had a baby or not.
Now I love this because this was influenced by my partner Georgia. I need to talk about the Marks and Spencer's cotton joggers, which I posted on my stories, but Georgia, you've posted on Mama's stories as well. I saw them in you the other day and I was like, oh my god, they're such a bargain, and they're such a gorgeous fit. You had the shocking pink. I then bought the shocking pink, but you've just told me that you've now got them in three colours.
Yeah.
The whole set is under 30 quid. The bottoms come up true to size, but the top comes up really small. I ordered a 12.
Yeah.
And it fits like an 8. So I would double, like, size up twice basically.
I ended up buying a 20 in one of the hoodies, but just purely because that's all they had. They literally just had a 20, but I looked at it and I thought, well, this would just be how I would want a hoodie anyway, sort of oversized. It comes sort of like mid thigh, it's just a bit looser. £30, they wash so well, there's so many lovely colours, they're perfect for kind of our lifestyle, I guess, at the moment, where we're just chucking on, working at home, perfect for the weekend. Love them.
Great.
I'm going to finish up with a beauty product. I have been using the Clinique Smart Repair Serum, I want to say maybe for the last 4 weeks. I do try and use a product for at least that amount of time before I mention it, because my skin's quite sensitive, and also just to see whether it actually, you know, makes any difference. And I'd say this is a really lovely all-round sort of anti-aging serum. It hydrates your skin, it's definitely sort of helps to plump the skin. It's just an all-round, you know, if you're just looking for one, you just want one serum that you can use in the morning and in the evening, this is it. You do need to use SPF because it will make your skin a little bit more sensitive to sunlight, but I really rate it. It's just an all-round lovely serum.
Amazing, love that. That is it for Friday's episode. As always, please give us a little follow. You can also subscribe to the podcast, and a rate and review would also be an absolute touch. George, also keep sending in your photos.
Yeah, please. We absolutely love to see them. But also, we would really appreciate your suggestions for these Q&A episodes, because ultimately they are for you. You're sending in the questions and we want to make sure that we're covering the topics that you actually want to hear about. So do just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas and we'll be back on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.